everybody. For those of you online, my name is Dustin Lewis, and I've been going here to Texas Prayer for about 8 months or so. Been a good experience so far, and we had the opportunity to share our testimony, kind of how we came to Christ and how we got to where we are today. And so I chose August to start. So I was in a family of five. I was the youngest of three. My sister, who's here today, I'm not supposed to reveal a woman's age, so I won't tell you my birth year, but she's 7 years older than me. My brother is 9 years older than me. I was quite the surprise. That was not supposed to happen, and I tell my parents every day that it was the greatest surprise they've ever had. They usually disagree half the time. So we were a Christian family. We grew up in the church. We went to a Lutheran church. That's the only church I ever remember going to. It was something that we did every Sunday. We were part of everything, all the fellowship. We had cookouts. It was a country church, so we always had somebody with a barbecue trailer. So it seemed like once a month somebody was doing some kind of cooking, and we were all gathering, and the kids were out in the field throwing rocks and climbing trees and falling out and doing all the stuff you're supposed to do as a kid. So normal upbringing there. In the Lutheran church, when you get to be about 11, 12 years old, you go through something called confirmation, and it's a very, very in-depth study on the faith, study on the Trinity, on the Ten Commandments, on everything that you believe as the basis of your faith. And for 2 years of every other Saturday for 3 hours, we did a class with four or five of us. And in that class, we went through the Ten Commandments in depth. I mean, it was like a week on each one of the Ten Commandments, what it meant, what it means for you, what it means in your life. And at that point, as preteens or early teenagers, it was very much focused on how do we prepare you for probably the hardest time of your life, which is a teenager. Your hormones are raging. Everything's off the charts. You're getting a little bit more freedom. You're getting a little bit more ability to do some things. And so that's usually when experimentation starts to happen, the drugs, the alcohol, promiscuity, all that stuff starts to happen. So we went through every single one of those so that we understood what we were coming into as a teenager and so we could resist those things. We went into the Godhead, the Trinity, a lot, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, probably a week or so on each one of those, maybe more. A lot of papers, a lot of things, and it all just made sense to me. It was all Bible-based. You bring from the Bible over to Luther's Small Catechism, and it was the foundation of everything that we believe, not only as Lutherans, but as Christians. A lot of it transcends across the religious disciplines. And it just made sense. I think Katie had mentioned in her testimony a few months back that it all just flowed together. It all made sense. And so at the end of the course, or at the end of the confirmation, we would go before the church because of public proclamation of our faith. We would individually proclaim in front of the church that we believed and what we believed. And we all had to kind of have our own little, it wasn't like the prayer that you say or anything like that. You had to come up with your own version of what it meant for you. And so we did that. And moving forward, the teenage years were relatively easy. Always had a few buddies, a few friends that were closer than the rest. You have a lot of friends. You kind of have that outer circle where you know a lot of people. They're more acquaintances than they are anything else. And then I always had three or four guys that we just stuck together. We all believed the same thing. Our parents all raised us the same way. And it was interesting because one of my buddies went to a non-denominational church where his dad was a pastor. The other two went to a Baptist church and went to a Lutheran church, but it didn't matter. We all believed the same thing. We all believed that Christ died on the cross. We all believed in the Trinity. And we all believed that without that in our lives, it would be eternal damnation. And so we all supported each other, and I think Jason calls it grade A fun. Teenage boys out in the country, we had a lot of grade A fun. We only one of us had a truck, and that was Nate. And we would steal his truck without him knowing and take it out through the mud and return it to him and leave. Some of the families had cows that we would help to tend to, so we'd chase the cows. And if there was a calf out there, we'd dare each other to chase it down and try to ride it. The calves usually knew what was happening and ran away. It never really happened. Just stupid boy stuff. Football, baseball, potato guns. Anybody know what a potato gun is? Yeah, if you don't, see me after. We just did stuff, and we stayed out of it. There was a lot of, even though we went to a very, very small school, very small town, Frost only has, 600 people? It's a 1A school. I graduated with a whopping 30 people in my class. There was a lot of pastor parties and things like that that people fell into because it was such a smaller group and less choices, I guess you could say, to either go this way or go that way. A lot of people just fell into it because they went with the crowd. And we had our smaller little group of four buddies, and we just supported each other to stay away from it. And so through the teenage years, it was fairly easy. The thing that stands out, I've been reading a book that Jason gave me by Ray Comfort, and it talks about how there's instances in the Christian faith today where you go to the front, you do the altar call, you say the prayer, and then everything's great. And that sometimes if you don't know why you need to be saved or what you're being saved from, it doesn't stick. And so I guess the main message that I wanted to relay beyond just how I came to Christ was, you know, being a Christian is not easy. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be tempted. It doesn't mean that you're never going to sin. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fall away from time to time. It just means that if you have a good, solid foundation that your parents have given you, that you've built through friends or however you came to that foundation, it's going to be a lot easier to come back to Christ and reconcile and ask forgiveness. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. You look through the Bible, and there's so many instances. God never used a perfect individual, a perfect man for anything. Paul, formerly Saul, was probably one of the worst. He all but approved of killing of Christians, prosecution of Christians. And then he wrote majority of the New Testament and most of the lessons that we read from today to direct our lives. So I just really, really think what's been laid on me a lot lately is just no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you think, how bad you really think you are, anything like that, God is waiting for you to come back, period. And he will take you back just like the prodigal son. He's left the sheep. He's left the 99 to go find you. You just have to respond and say, here I am. And that's what I really want to encourage is no matter where you are, just look for Christ. Look for somebody who knows him. Find out. Ask. Don't be ashamed of anything that you've done, because whatever you've done is not near bad enough for him not to take you back. And so in my life, to kind of transition here, up through about age 20, it was kind of easy, I say. And then as you get to be adult and you go out on your own, it gets busy. Life gets hectic. It gets crazy. You have more freedom as an adult. And you tend, or at least I did, I got lazy. So I wasn't in the fellowship. I wasn't praying daily. I wasn't reading the scriptures daily. The type of fellowship I had wasn't with the people that supported me to get where I had already accepted Christ. It was a little bit different. But it wasn't a situation where I renounced my faith and said, I don't believe this, I want to do my own thing, and I don't need you. It was just due to a lack of focus on what matters. There was a fault. You know, fell away slightly. And so for a few years, through my marriage, my first marriage, I am divorced, things just got rockier and rockier. And because we started as Christians, and we were Christians, but we weren't doing the things in our marriage that we needed to do to keep it strong. It was not a spiritually strong marriage in any way, shape, or form. And because of that, we just became, over the last 2 or 3 years, like ships in the night. It was more as we were a roommate situation as opposed to a marital situation, and eventually it ended. Caleb is mine from the prior. I think everybody here knows that. He lives with me. He stays with me, but you know, it's tough to take a child through that and try to explain it to him. He's 4 years old, so trying to explain what's going on is really, really tough. Try to be as honest with him as I can for a four-year-old. But it was difficult. Stephanie and I came together, and under difficult circumstances, we were both leaving our marriages. We dated very quickly. We found out we were pregnant with Brenna, which was a good thing, but it was also kind of confusing because we weren't yet married. So we had left a marriage and then started our new relationship kind of the wrong way. And so we both recognized, and for both of us, and I kind of led the charge, I said, you know, we need to get back to church. We need to get back to Christ. We got to get back to forgiveness because we've strayed. And I credit that to my parents and my family growing up because of the foundation I had for the first 20 whatever years of my life and understanding who Christ was, what he did for us and what it means to not only live with him daily, but then also live apart from him, it was easier to come back and admit what I'd done. And so from that point forward, that was the center of Stephanie and I's journey, was to put him at the center of it, because the only way our family was going to stick together, the only way we were going to stick together, the only way things were going to be more spirit-filled than they have in the past was if we came back to Christ, and so we did. About a year and a half later, when we got married, we had a wedding in our backyard. So a very small, very intimate setting. The pastor that did the service for us, he suggested what was called a sand ceremony. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen that. Before he had recommended, I'd never heard of it. But basically, each member of the family, so there were four of us, has a different color of sand that represents them. I think Caleb and I were blue and green. Stephanie and Brenna were pink and purple. And then there was a fifth sand that represented God. And so the pastor would pour that into a big vase, and God was the base. And then we would all pour all five of the colors in together. And I don't remember all the words. I just remember basically as you pour in colors of sand like that together, when they combine, you're never going to get them apart again. And so the blessing on our life from the church is, from this point forward, may you never separate. May you never come apart, and let God be the binding glue or the agent that holds you together. And so I went a little bit further than when I came to Christ, and I kind of went back and forth on this all week, because I was struggling with what to say or how far to go. But I went further because, I want people to understand, being a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to sin. It's not going to be easy. And you have to rely on good quality fellowship to keep you on the right track. You have to rely on daily prayer and daily studies if you want to stay on the straight and narrow. And the foundation that you build early on and the foundation that you start to build is extremely important. Because once you have that foundation in place, even if you do make a mistake from time to time, like you just said, you can go back to it. And he's waiting for you to come back to it. So I think it's just interesting. You go through life and you make mistakes and you think, well, gosh, I can't go back, can I? Yeah, you can. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. He will correct it. He will wipe it clean and he will start over. And if you let him guide your path and guide your steps, he will change you in ways that you're not prepared for, but they're always good ways. You just have to be ready to do that. So don't think that, I guess the other side of that is, if you're a Christian, don't think that your work is done. I think both individually and for others around you, I think we at times can get lazy and thinking, well, now I'm a Christian, so everything's good. We treat salvation and forgiveness as the finish line when it's actually the starting line. Paul refers to the great race all the time. So if you think that once you receive Christ in your life and put him as the center of your life that you're done, I would bet that you might fall away rather quickly, because you're not dedicated to doing the things to build up your life in Christ. And you can't do it alone. You've got to have quality fellowship, people that will hold you accountable in positive ways. You've got to have daily studies, because God will speak to you through your studies, and he will reveal things to you about your life, about other people's lives, that you won't be able to find out on your own. Excuse me. And you've got to have prayer. You've got to have the daily communication with God about whatever's going on in your life, whether it's good, it's bad. You know, I personally start every prayer with thanks, just because I feel bad trying to ask him for stuff all the time. Even though that's what he wants of us, I just start with thanks, because it changes how you pray. Instead of being needy, you're more grateful. So you start with an attitude of gratitude, and it changes your prayer life. So that's it. That's the short and the quick. Amen? It's like 12 minutes.